a very brief moment and we'll be good, and then we'll come back tomorrow. Amen. So I want to share some thoughts around fullness. Can everybody say fullness? Fullness. Let's say it again. Fullness. Amen. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you because we know that there is grace. And I pray that you would make this conversation spiritual and effective. And beyond the words, please speak to all of our hearts. And let your word come alive in every heart. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. There is something about fullness that God wants you to appreciate. In fact, one of our songs here, you know, we have many songs, but one of the songs that we sing here is that there is a promise of fullness. How many of us remember that song? And it says, I want more. So the reason you want more is because there is a promise of fullness. But fullness is a very, very big deal. Many people do not experience the fullness of God. And that is the whole essence. You must do your Christianity. You must do life. You must walk with God in a way where you constantly experience fullness at every season. Are we together? Many people do not experience fullness, even naturally speaking. Are you aware that scientists tell us that the best of us, we only use about 10% of our brain? That's from when you were born to you die. Now, that's the best of us. And then when you look at the way some people are behaving, it means that some people are using 0.1, 1%. Do you understand this? There is no fullness. Most of us here have not used our devices up to 20% of the capacity. When you want to buy a phone, what do you check for? You just check, is the camera good? Is the battery life? But that camera is just maybe about 5%. There are many, especially all the iPhone people, that will not allow us to rest. Amen. Because there's so much more that your iPhone can do that we're not maximizing. And just as it is naturally, it's like that spiritually. Many people do not maximize the grace of God. Many people do not maximize their seasons. And this is such a big deal that Paul prayed for us. You know, I don't like using Pauline prayers or Pauline epistles because some people have turned it to something else. Amen. But it's so important. In Ephesians 3:19, one of the prayers that Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, the last part of it, it says that to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And then he says that you may be filled, how? With all the fullness of God. Amen. Amen. It's a big deal. And we'll get into some things, but we're just laying the block. All these experiences we've been having a great time as a church and all of that, but you must keep your eyes on the ball. You must know that there is more. Amen. Amen. Don't just sing that song. Make sure that it becomes a default way that it becomes a default way by which you live your life. It's something that guides you. It's a software that is installed in your heart. I'm trusting God that after this conversation, your desire for fullness will increase. Your appreciation for fullness will increase in everything. There are many marriages that have not yet even reached 5% of their, you know, one of the things that will make people sad in heaven is when you get to heaven, that's straight, but there's something sadder when you get to heaven and then they show you everything that you could have been, everything that you could have done that you didn't do. It would take the comfort of the Holy Spirit not to feel somehow. Amen. So it's not just, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Did you come into fullness? We can break the fullness of God down into many things, but we don't have time. If you read your Bible, the scripture speaks about the fullness of joy, for example. If there is fullness of joy, if you are not looking for what is not lost, it means that not everybody's joy is full. Amen. The Bible talks about the fullness of the blessing. The Bible talks about the fullness of time. And I can go on and on. But we must be a people that appreciate fullness. It says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Are you following this conversation? I'm talking, well, I wanted to say I'm talking very gently, but I think I always talk gently. But I'm talking more gently so that this can really, really sink. You must be somebody that appreciates fullness. And we're going to end this conversation by looking at the character of people that enjoy the fullness of God. One of the character traits of people that enjoy the fullness of God is that they are patient. You see, patience is not just that I'm calm. Patience is not just that I'm not in a hurry. Do you know that if you are eating, for example, and we know that the Bible, the Word of God is likened to food. Do you know you can eat in a hurried manner? Do you understand? How many of us have ever rushed our food before? Amen. You are not patient. I remember one time we were at the mall. I think I was with, Idara was with me. I think Abike was with me and Fumi. So we went to see, we saw two movies. So I think it was Merry Men. Is it Merry? That AY's movie. What's that? Merry Men Part 1. And then King of Boys 1 was showing later. So there was an interval. So after Merry Men, we said, okay, let's go and take ice cream. And then we were rushing. Because the time we had between the first movie and the second movie, they were already entering and all of that. And I remember my ice cream was still at the top. I don't know how I did it, but to the glory of God, we finished the cup and we made our movie. All right, so patient. We're not just patient for the sake of being patient. One of the reasons, one of your greatest motivations to be patient, to cultivate patience or to persevere, is so that you come into fullness. There are many people, little blessing, they think they've seen everything. Little miracle, they run off and they believe they've arrived. But the Holy Spirit is reminding us again tonight that there is fullness. As a church, you know, we can feel we have arrived. It's full every Sunday. Testimonies, things are happening. But how many of you know that we've not even started? But that's not a, you know, you can say it just to let people know that you are a humble person. But you can also say it from a place of deep understanding. And there are, and this is one of the ways that the enemy is robbing many of us. He's stealing from many of us because we are not patient. We don't care about fullness. Amen. When the Bible says that, you know, God is perfect, do you believe that God is perfect? And you are not. Amen. Now, you know, many times when we say, and I always think about this, many times when you say you are not perfect, there's an evil condemnation that wants to come. But maybe this would deliver somebody. The meaning of that, what does it even mean to be perfect? It means that there are many ways you can look at that word perfect. But for the purpose of our conversation tonight, when we say God is perfect, we're saying that nothing can be added to him. But if you look at your life, there are still many things that can be added. Do you understand what we are saying? So it's a good statement. The next time someone tells you, I'm not perfect, don't feel bad. Amen. Because there are many, many additions that God wants to bring into your life. The Bible says that the word was preached to them, but it did not profit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith. That word profit there, it speaks about supernatural additions. That's how God wants to relate with us. But if you are somebody that doesn't appreciate fullness, you would cut yourself short. And this is all over scripture. And I will take us on a short journey tonight. Let's go to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. It's all over the scripture. Hosea chapter 6. Can we all see? Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has turned, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. Verse 2, where I'm really going to. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up. It means that if you stop after 2 days, what will happen? You won't. Do you understand? Fullness. A lot of people, after 2 days, they run, they jump, they testify, they dance, they do all kinds of things. But he says, after 2 days, that's like the climax of it. And then he says, on the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Next verse. And then he says, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. There's a translation that says that we will know as we follow on to know. Amen. So God is a God of fullness. And one of the ways that would, One of the things that will enrich your life is this understanding. It will make you very, very patient. You won't be in a hurry. Do you know that the finest prophets, for example, are those that have learned to wait on God? But a lot of people just hear just the part, and then they run with that, and they run into all kinds of problems. This is all over the scripture, and this is all around your life as well. Jesus healed how many lepers? The story of the 10 lepers that he healed, and then one came back. How many came back to say thank you? And then what did the Bible say? It says that your faith has... He first asked for the other 9. And then they were nowhere to be found. And he said that this one that came back, he says, your faith has made you whole. Amen. Make no mistake about it. There will be a difference between that one and that remaining 9. Those ones will have testimonies, though, but they didn't come into fullness. Many people do not come into the fullness of God for their lives. Romans 15:29, Paul said, I will come to you in the fullness of the blessing. There is something about fullness that you must begin to desire. You must begin to appreciate. As I said, it is all over the scripture. Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will do what? Perfect it, or will complete it to the day of Christ. Amen. So it's not enough for a good work to start in you. Do you understand this? Yes, sir. The real testimony is that it was completed. You see, the day of Christ, when Paul was saying that, it talks about something that endures. That work is not easily cut off. It's not easily aborted. Are you following me? Yes, sir. Amen. It's a very simple message. It's just arrange your life in a way where you always come into fullness. Life, and this is one of the principles I live my life on. Life is lived on levels and arrived at in seasons. So, if you say all of us are on the same level, you are just deceiving yourself. Yes, amen. Spiritually. Now, it's not a condescending statement. But we are not all on the same level. Financially, we are not all on the same level. Emotionally, we are not all on the same level. Years ago, when I didn't like to make people feel bad, I would say all of us have the same level of IQ, the same IQ level. But it's not true. Some of us, if they break your head and put the book inside, you will still struggle. Amen. But it doesn't matter. As you begin to find your God you. You understand? It won't matter. Because then you are flowing in grace. And you are flowing in glory. But we're not all at the same level. And we're all at different seasons. But you see what happens to many people. Whatever level that you are on, whatever season of life you are in, if you as somebody that appreciates fullness, you will always be in joy. But a lot of people are on a level and they spend their whole time praying for the next level. Amen. But you know how promotion happens many times? You have completed a cycle. And then God says, it's time to come up. And if you've not completed that cycle, sometimes if you like fast for 100 days, if God loves you, nothing would happen. Do you understand this? So, fullness. We must be people that appreciate fullness. You know, sometimes maybe when pastor is preaching a series, and you can use this for anything. It's not something high up there that you cannot use. Sometimes pastor is doing a series, and then you hear him one Sunday, and they say, I've understood this message. There's nothing more to this. And then you just run. Maybe the next Sunday you don't come. You've not really entered the fullness of that message. And what it is supposed to deliver to you, it will not deliver. Amen. Amen. Why do we worship Jesus? There are many reasons why we follow him. One of the reasons we follow him is because he's the only man that is complete. In John chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible says, and of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. The Bible says the first Adam was what? First Adam was what? Don't murmur. First Adam was what? And the last Adam, or a quickening spirit. The word quickening doesn't just mean to give life. It means to distribute. It means to distribute life. So when John says that of his fullness, we have all received. Jesus is full. Amen. Full of grace, full of glory, full of anything that you want to be full. And then he's distributing that to us. So when Paul said that we may be filled with the fullness of God, that is a very, very important prayer. It means that many people don't come into fullness. But that will not be you. In Jesus' name. You see, you must desire to maximize your life. Everything that God has given you, you must desire to maximize it. I was talking about levels and seasons some minutes ago. The time is running fast, but we'll soon begin to tie this up. Are you getting blessed? I was talking about levels and seasons some minutes ago. And I was trying to tell us that one of the ways that you have maximized a season is when you have juiced out everything that there is to juice out in that season. When God can say, you have learned everything that I want to teach you. You have seen everything that I want to show you. And then now it's time for a new season. But, you know, we can't say that for everybody. In many people's lives, abortions happen on irregular. And that's why Paul prayed that prayer. That being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you. Some people, a good work begins But where they end up, it's very strange and it's very sad. Amen. So you must desire fullness. You must appreciate fullness. Do you know that there is fullness in your marriage, for example? There is more. Even if you people are celebrating 20 years and you don't really fight like that. Amen. There is more. I want you to desire to stand before God. And do you know what it means when Paul says, I have finished my course? Amen. Not everybody finishes. Amen. And that's not to scare you, because the reason that happens is because of certain attitudes and certain mindsets that people have. And I would end this conversation by looking at two of them that you must watch if you want to come into fullness. So God desires that you come into fullness. Amen. I don't think there is anybody here that has not been prophesied over. Even if it's not Pizak, maybe where you are coming from. Amen. Over everybody here, there is, unless you are not born again, and hopefully you'll be today if you are not born again. But if you are born again, the word of the Lord is over everybody's life. And one of the ways the enemy will fight you is that you don't come into the fullness of that word. Do you understand? That's why a lot of people are angry. A lot of people are frustrated. But you must desire fullness. You must trust God. One of the things, one of the functions of the Holy Ghost in your life is to help you maximize your life. Is to help you maximize your seasons. How many of you trust God to maximize your life? Don't be carried away. A lot of people are looking for what is not lost. But if you would stay with God, there has to be a reward. Or eventually, there's going to be a difference between those that stayed with God, those that stayed with the word, those that stayed with their pastor, and those that don't. You know, it's not everybody that stays with their pastor. It's not everybody that stays with the word. It's not everybody that stays with the promise. Believe it or not, there are people that legitimately believe that God is slow. Like, it's not a rumor. It's a knowing in their soul that God is slow. And when the word is pushing their life in certain directions, they will resist. They might be going through the motions, but in their heart. Now, how do you survive if you believe that God is slow? The question is, who is now fast? Amen. And then you go there and you complicate your life. Many people don't come into fullness. Many marriages don't come into fullness. Let me tell you the plan of the enemy. One of the plans of the enemy for your life is that you will have a notebook, a higher education full of word and prophecy. But it won't happen. And no matter how you dance and how you rejoice, there will always be a part of you that will be like, this God has not been good to me. And then when the next time somebody wants to prophesy, you just can't say it out, but you're like, if I slap you, amen. Hallelujah. If not, the Bible will not tell us not to despise prophecies. It means that it is possible. Life can push you to a point that you despise prophecies. For example, one of the hardest things to do now is to prophesy about our nation. Many of us don't believe New Nigeria. Which New Nigeria? Amen. Ida was sharing something with me yesterday. She was saying that she feels that one of the reasons Nigeria is not good is because can you imagine over 100 million people every day saying negative things about the country? How will it be good? Amen. We are here. We need to repent. We are here. You're looking at me. We need to repent. Amen. When last did you pray for Nigeria? Don't lie. Amen. You see, it's very, these things are very, very practical. But, you know, there is, even in that context, there is fullness. If you pick up some of the prophecies about Nigeria, for example, maybe Cindy Jacobs, it looks like, how will these things be? Because what you are reading and what you see, maybe that's why you now hear one nonsense news about Boko Haram or headsmen and the prophecies in your hand like this. For many of us, what is remaining is to tell Cindy Jacobs that your head is not correct. This prophecy that you wear, because the variance in the flesh, it's much. And I want to encourage you, if you look at Nigeria in the flesh, there's no hope. Amen. You have to look at it with the lens of the word, the lens of the spirit. The Bible says the angels cry, holy, holy, the earth is full of your glory. Which earth? Is it all the bad things happening? But there's a way they see that we don't see. So we must desire fullness at every season. The Bible says we know in part, we prophesy in part. Why? Because there is fullness. That scripture is not an indictment. It's just telling you to calm down. And if you calm down, you will see the big picture. Amen. Amen. The scripture is for people that want to raise their shoulder because they are prophesying. It's not that we can never come into fullness. It was trying to address an attitude, a heart posture, a heart position. Do you understand? So you must desire fullness. You must appreciate fullness. Of his fullness, we have all received. The Bible says you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. So in Revelation 5, the Bible says there was a scroll and there was nobody found worthy to open it in heaven. And on let's see Revelation 5 from verse 1 to 6. So another motivation of staying with Jesus, you will come into fullness. Amen. Amen. Not get one thing and run. You stay. You train your heart. You train your soul to sit with Jesus. You know, it's the spirit of the age. Many people don't have a faithful spirit. Many people don't have a faithful heart. Many people cannot sit with one thing till they break through. Amen. They go here, go here, go there, and they never complete anything. Zechariah chapter 1 was one of the earliest scriptures, and it has stayed with me. It says, the hand of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of this building. And it says, those same hands, they will finish it. So it means that you can lay the foundation, but you won't finish it. Fullness. Amen. When this church started, we didn't know we would be here. Imagine we concluded based on our experiences at Mano. We won't be here. And now, in the next 5 years or the next few years, God is beginning to give us the blueprint. And it is how we receive it that will determine where we will be. I want to beg you, don't be somebody that... This is why many people settle for less. I remember one man, he said that one time he traveled abroad. I can't remember the country, although he was joking. And then he said the country was so beautiful. And he said, let me die here. Amen. And that's how many of us are. You see just small beauty, and then you say, let me stay here. But if you're like that, you won't come into fullness. So let's see Revelations 5:1. It says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals. And I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Amen. Amen. So what is the point? He's worthy to open the scroll because he came into fullness. Amen. He finished. There's nothing that Jesus There's nothing that Jesus was supposed to do here that he did not do. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says that of that fullness we have all received. So there's something about fullness. You must desire fullness. Your heart must appreciate fullness. Don't be somebody that is easily satisfied. Many of us see, I don't want to say small blessing, because there's no blessing that is small. But you see something that is maybe on the first page of the script that God wrote for you. And you know some scripts are many, many pages. Amen. Amen. We have writers here. Their scripts, it's not every script that is 50 pages. Some are 500. Some are 1,000. But you see something on page one and you desire to, you stay there. How will you come into fullness? A lot of people, the people that don't come into fullness are always more than the people that come into fullness of God for their lives. And there are attitudes and characters. Let's see the final scripture to buttress this. 2 Kings 13. This is a very, very interesting scripture. This was Elisha's last encounter before he died. 13 verse, from verse 14. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. We don't have time, but this is a type of divine experience. This is a metaphor for grace. And that's what I was telling you earlier. You must trust the Holy Spirit to maximize grace. You must trust the Holy Spirit to maximize your seasons. You must trust the Holy Spirit to maximize your life. So Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrow." So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it." Fullness. It means that those three times did not destroy Syria. That's the implication. If you are not looking for what is lost, it's there in the text. Amen. Amen. Fullness. And for all of us, for every church, for every individual, there is this metaphor, till you had destroyed it. That's why you can't, this is one of the evil of laziness. You can't just afford to get somewhere and stop. Because I use the example of your script. You can't say, "I've read page one," and you leave 499 pages unread. You will not come into fullness. I don't know about you, but I want to come into, I don't just want to be receiving word. And at the end of the day, there's very little or nothing to show. Because God cannot lie. That must be a basic conviction in your heart. You can lie, oh, but God cannot lie. Amen. Amen. The Bible says God, Numbers 23:19, it says God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. Amen. You must begin to desire fullness. And I just believe there is grace released to us to come into fullness. The things that God has said about your life. Even as a house, you don't just settle for something that you think you've seen. And you just believe that there's nothing more. Amen. Hallelujah. As we begin to tie this up, I said to us earlier that this is one of your motivations for patience should be to come into fullness. One of your motivations for staying with God, one of your motivations for staying with your pastor or staying with your oversight should be to come into fullness. Don't be somebody that is just in a hurry. Does this happen to you? Maybe something happens. Maybe there's something you are thinking about. And the more days, the more you give it time, understanding begins to come. But if you just rush on that first day, you make a mess of the whole thing. This is one of the reasons why only spiritual people wait. Waiting is not for carnal people. It's not that we're idle. It's not that we don't know what to do. But we are trying to get the full picture. Do you know, this is even why many people don't understand the Bible the way God will have them understand it. Because believe it or not, some people study just to preach, just to share that they know. But the way God has designed this thing, if you are always in a hurry, you will be shallow. You will be empty. You won't see many things. The Bible talks about the many-sided wisdom of God. Not just one side, many-sided. If you break that many-sided down, it talks about different shades, different colors. It's a big deal. Fullness is a big deal. And the people that have this ultimately are the people that will rule. Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. If something is whole, it can be half. It can be quarter. Whatever, any other shape that you know. But it says the whole counsel of God. Do you know the arrogance of some people that they just believe that it is what they are teaching that is the whole Bible? There's no fullness. And then when they see God manifesting in other ways, they are angry, they are bitter, they are jealous, and all those negative spirits come. But as God is taking us to deeper waters, we must be a people that desire fullness. Do you know there is a fullness for your career? It's not just high. This is practical. Your career, every part of your life that has meaning to you, there is fullness. And you can engage God that way. There is more. This is why none of us will ever get to a point where none of us will ever be so blessed that we don't need to fellowship with ourselves anymore. Because the moment that happens, you cut yourself off from something. Do you know why many people, many Christians are afraid of death, for example? It's because we don't understand some of these things. If you understand that there is an aspect of what Jesus came to do that cannot find expression here, that other side will begin to make sense to you. But many of us cannot even, when you talk about the powers of the age to come, would always bring it back here to bread and butter and all those things, because it doesn't make sense to us. Amen. Amen. And the irony of it is that those that are not afraid of death are the people that don't even die, because God knows that he can trust them. Amen. A lot of these other things need to begin to make sense to us. The way some people mourn when somebody dies, especially if it's a Christian, it shows that they don't really believe some of these things. And I can tell if you believe the Bible by the way you mourn. The Bible says, never said we shouldn't mourn, but it says don't mourn as those that have no hope. It means that the hope that we have, it's potent enough to bring comfort. Your life will not come to a standstill. But some of us just go on wailing 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. Your life has not left that particular spot, because we don't really appreciate these things. We're talking on Wednesday. God has given us the earnest of the Spirit, and is waiting for the redemption of the purchased possession. So when Pizak says that there will be Bible study in heaven, I believe it, because the matter is plenty. Even this Bible that we have, you know, one of the literal meanings of scripture is document. Even that document, how long are you going to live here? Let's say 120. It's so loaded that you can't even exhaust. So it doesn't even make spiritual sense to me anymore. It makes logical sense that we can't exhaust this curriculum here. We can only test it, test the waters, but there is more. There is fullness. Hallelujah. And we have to begin to engage God like this, relate with God like this. Don't be shallow. This is why we wait. This is why we do what we do. Because there is fullness. There is more. And I'm trusting God today that word will enter your spirit. It says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Many people are not full. They think they are full, but they are not full. At best, maybe they are full of themselves, but they are not full of God. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit must help us. Amen. Maximize our seasons. Amen. Maximize our levels. Amen. Maximize the grace of God. Amen. Maximize our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.